I started a series on generosity, and I want to continue this week. And I want to talk about two things, breaking poverty and tapping into wealth. Now, immediately when most of you think of wealth, you think of cash, cars, cribs, houses. That's not just wealth. Wealth is the abundance of resources, and poverty, it's not a physical thing, it's a mentality. And I want to show you how to break poverty today, and next week I'm going to show you how to tap into wealth. All right? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. My next screen there. Many of you are readers. Any of you enjoy reading in here? I was introduced to a book when I was in graduate school. It's called The Framework of Poverty, and a lady named Ruby Kane wrote it. Ruby Payne. And she talked about the dynamics that when you're in poverty that it brings to a situation. I had no idea that she'd written a book for churches. And it's what every church member should know about poverty. And poverty impacts every single last one of us in here. If I'll be honest, there are still areas of my life that are impacted by a poverty mentality. And I'll tell you what poverty is in a minute. And as I was reading this book and I was studying for my sermon and just for life, I would challenge as many as you can to get this book. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Kindle. I don't know if she has an Audible version of this, but I would challenge as many as you can to get this book here and have it as a resource. Amen? Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. Y'all ready? It says this: the rich man's wealth is his fortress. The rich man's wealth is his fortress. Some translations say strong city, but the reality is it's security. It said the ruin of the poor is their poverty. Let me propose this to you first. There is a difference between being rich and wealthy. There is a difference between being poor and being in poverty. Poverty and wealth are mentalities. They start from something you believe, and it's a mentality that taps you into resources or the lack thereof. Let's go to my next slide here. Can y'all talk back to me today? Let's talk about being poor first. Being poor is it's just the state of not having enough resources. There's some areas in my life that I am poor in. I am knowledge poor in some areas because I just don't know. Being poor is not just the lack of finances. Being poor is a state of not having enough resources. Rich is having more than enough resources. Most of you in this room, you're rich because you're tapped into the resources of God. Let me say this to you right here. Being poor is not a curse. It just means that you don't have enough. You can be poor and still have standards in life. You have morals, you have goals, you have a focus on hard work, education, and you can be connected to God. And on the flip side, being rich, you can have standards, morals, goals, focus on hard work and education. Many of you were taught growing up, rich people ain't happy. Well, you riding around a car with no air conditioning, it's 90 degrees outside, you can't roll down the window, who's happy? It's not about, we look and we take shots on either side. Being poor or being rich is just the state that you're in. It's whether or not you have enough resources. Poor, it happens. Poor can happen because some people, you lose a job. Some people say you're one paycheck away from being broke. Reality is you are a support system away from being broke. Because the people around you can hold you up. Anybody ever had people around you hold you up in tough seasons? The opposite of that, you lose everything and have nobody there to support you. So you can lose a job and be poor in a moment. You can have a medical hardship. You slide it off the screen there. You can have a medical hardship. You are one injury, one illness away that you can't work. Something happens. Just the reality. We believe God for healing. But let someone in your family get cancer. You have to pay for chemo, doctor's visits. One of the big expensive costs for the elderly is the medicine. $1,000 a month for medicine? So you become poor because of the lack of access to resources. You can become poor because overnight your lifestyle changes. You're a happy family with two kids, and you guys doing well. Divorce happens, and now life happens. You're married, and you're with somebody, and your spouse dies. Now you can be poor in terms of connection. You're lonely because nobody's there. Various things can happen, or life is expensive now. You just don't make enough money to support your needs. You can go to Walmart and blink your eyes and spend $50. I don't like Walmart, but I'm in there 2 to 3 times a week because it's 3 miles from my house. Then you leave Walmart and you got your kids and want something. Can I get Jordans? Can we go to McDonald's? It's just always, it's just always. And if you don't have enough resources, you will find yourself being poor. Poor is not the problem. Poor becomes the problem when poor is connected to poverty. Poor says, I don't have enough. Poverty says, there is not enough. It's a distinct difference. And when you have a poverty mentality, you lead to ruin. Can we talk about rich for a moment? You can be rich and you can be happy and you have standards in life, but that is just the state that you are in the moment. Go to my next slide here. Can we talk about life for a moment? I want to look at the scripture. When being poor is not the problem, remember I told you? But being poor and having a poverty mentality will lead you to ruin. Poverty says there is not enough. Being rich can be a situational moment if you're not connected to wealth. Wealth is more than enough resources, which leads to security. If rich is not connected to wealth, you have a diminishing asset that you're liable to go back. I have a buddy. He has a very thriving church. His church did phenomenal last weekend. Me and him last week were talking. And he got upset and we got to laughing because he said, man, there's this one preacher that copies everything I do. If we do a flyer, he do one just like it. If we do an invite strategy, he does one just like it. Some of you experience the same thing. You change your hair. Now you see your hairstyle everywhere. You get a new outfit and everybody modeling your outfit. I said, hey, man, look at it this way. You're wealthy. You're a trendsetter. I said, watch this. The person that stole your idea, all they got is your idea. I said, you're a wealthy man, and you got a whole lot more ideas where that one came from. When you are wealthy, you are connected to resources, and you have more than what you have right now. When you're wealthy, you can lose everything today. But because I got resources, I'm like Bebe's kids. I don't die. I multiply. I'll be back and better as a result of the soul doing. Y'all right in here? Why? Because I'm connected to wealth. When you see it, many of you think money. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about because you can have all the money in the world and not be wealthy because you're not happy. You don't have connections. You don't understand the quality of life of doing things. Here's the thing. Being rich and poor can both be temporary conditions. You can be poor right now in this moment, and God connects you to wealth. And that wealth could be one idea. You could be one idea away from the greatest breakthrough in your life. You could be confidence away from security. They're both temporary conditions based off what you are connected to. The focus of my sermon today is wealth and poverty. They are not just the lack of abundance of resources or the abundance of resources. It's a mentality that teaches you how to use your resources for the glory of God. You all right in here?
Yes.
Let's talk about poverty as a state of mind. Poverty is this. You go to my next slide. Poverty is the belief that produces a state of mind that there are not enough resources. What do you believe when you have a poverty mentality? You believe that there aren't enough resources available for you. You believe that others have, you can believe that others have what you need. You can believe that you can't get your own, you have what somebody else has, what you need. And it produces a way of life. Here's what the way of life that poverty produces. You will do things out of character to get your needs met. I know what it looks like. I know what that feels like. I've been in situations where I felt like I was less than. I have a buddy who is a research physicist. You ever heard somebody say, you're not as smart as a rocket scientist? He's a rocket scientist. He's got his PhD in physics, so he garners a lot of attention because he's smart. He got the most promising scientist in government one year. So I was in a room with him, have another buddy, he is like phenomenal in his denominations, and I'm sitting in the room with both of them, and nobody's paying me attention. And I said, after a while, I got tired of people ignoring me. So next thing I know, I'm throwing my accolades out there. I went to school here. I did this. I did. And I thought, Jason, what in the world are you doing? You are not that dude. You are not the name dropper. You are not the dude. And I had, in that moment, watch this. And you know what else I started to do? I started to size them up. They ain't no better than me. I don't know why y'all paying them attention. So many of you done the same thing. I don't know why in the world they got promoted. They ain't even as cute as me. Ain't even as smart as I. How? I believe this is where poverty can. Y'all lighten up in here. Y'all all right? Yeah. James chapter 3, verse 16. And said, this is how poverty works. James 3 and 16. The Bible says this: for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil kind of thing. Whenever you have jealousy or envy, and whenever you have selfish ambition, you are selfish. You will find, some translations say confusion. And every evil kind of work when you have a poverty mentality, because poverty says there is not enough. When you are in poverty, here's what will happen. You will burn bridges. bridges that you're going to need to walk across. You will not be able to walk by the job you used to have. They got a picture of you at the front desk. This call security as soon because you cut a fool when you left. You'll burn bridges. I know what I'm talking about. You'll burn bridges with family. My father drove the Rover bus, and he told me this hilarious story about this guy that was down here with no family. He said, man, where's your family? He told him where his family was. He said, why are you down here by yourself? He said, well, I found out I had cancer. And when I found out I had cancer, I figured I didn't have much time left to live, so I wouldn't cuss everybody out in my family for everything they did. And he said, here's the challenge. I lived through it. And he said, now I'm too ashamed to go back. Poverty, when it says it's not enough, you'll burn bridges with family. You'll burn bridges with friends. You don't have to end everything bad. You don't. Poverty mentality says there's not enough, and it impacts your character. You will do things that you necessarily shouldn't do because it drives confusion and every evil work. Can I give you some characteristics of poverty? Some of y'all know this word, trifling. Poverty, trifling can't, but won't. Trifling knows it should, but it won't. Trifling starts like, I know I ain't got no business saying this, but. I know I ain't got no business doing this. It's lazy. It's draining. It's hard to dream with the person with the poverty mentality. I know. Here's the thing about it. I tell people all the time, if you can't see it and you know God spoke it, at least go in neutral. Because you can't push a parked car. But if you go in neutral, I can at least get you to where we're going. And after a while, when you start to see it, you're going to put it in drive yourself and we're going to go there together. But here's the reality. You can't shut down just because you don't understand. Poverty always takes shortcuts and complains if you have to work too much. Poverty is obsessed with free stuff. It will take it because it's free and you got no plans for it. Somebody walked in, why? It was free. You all right in here? Poverty always has excuses with no solutions. Poverty receives assistance without a plan of becoming self-sufficient. And it wants better for yourself, but a fear of stepping out, I may lose the little assistance that I get right now. And I'm all for assisting people. I'm all for helping people out. I'm not anti, I know this, and I'm trying to be political. I'm not anti-government programs, but not for your whole life. It's just me. I think it's a leg up to get you going, but you got wealth inside you. You got a drive inside of you. You got something inside of you that will overcome any odds. Yes, we all need a help, but here's the reality. Once your help comes, something inside of you ought to kick in. That makes sense? The poverty mentality is a victim mentality because it says, it always says, I can't catch a break. And the reality is life is just horrible sometimes. But greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Poverty has no concept of resources, and they'll spend your resources for you. Poverty will take from others with the thought of this. They won't miss it. They got enough money. Poverty takes no as an offensive word because they ask you for something. Let me use your car. I know. You got two sitting in the driveway. It spends your resources, your money, and it doesn't set boundaries and let you say yes. Y'all right in here? And let you say no. It becomes an entitled mentality where you expect someone to give you something that you can produce yourself. I know that's heavy, but the reality is this. God wants us to break that poverty mentality. Nothing wrong with being poor, but God wants to connect us to his wealth so we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. One of the greatest things that poverty does is you learn how to work the system without working yourself. Now, some people cannot work. You have physical abilities. You have disabilities where you cannot work. But it takes a lot of mind. It takes a lot of genius to be able to work a system to get ahead. But what God wants to do is break that ability to get over on people. Well, now you learn how to network and connect with people to do great things in life. Y'all right in here? I want to show you how to break the poverty of spirit. Here's how it goes. The first thing is this. You got to get to the root. You got to destroy the root of poverty in your life by understanding this. I have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And life runs through my body. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God wants life running through your body. And when you understand who you are in him, I plant life on the inside of me and my confidence begins to rise. I've had people pray for me and say, man, I need to overcome fear. I need my confidence to come up. And somebody checked me once and said, you don't know who you are. Man, I'm going to tell you what. When I figured out who I was, I started to settle for, I stopped settling for second best. When you understand that you are a king's kid, when you understand that you are royalty, I'm talking to somebody in here. You don't have to settle. Poverty mindset has had many of us stuck in situations that you know you are better than where you are right now. But out of fear, you won't step out and go get God's best because you don't believe that God has more than what you have right now. If you did, we'd step out and go get the greatness that God has promised us. I understood that I am a child of God, and I got that root on the inside of me, and I cursed the root of the enemy of poverty that says this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy wants to suck the life out of you and everywhere you go. So you got to get to the root, number one. Number two, relationships. You got to connect to the right people. It's a statement that I live by. It says this: show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We say it all the time. No, we just cool like that. They do their thing and I do my thing. True, but after a while, somebody's going to win. There was a common bond and a common thread in every connection, in every relationship. And some relationships keep us in poverty. That's why I learned that some relationships, y'all forgive me how I say this, some relationships need to be nurtured and some of them need to be neutered. Because every relationship is producing something in your life. And you got to ask yourself, am I happy with what this relationship is producing? As a result of being connected, is my life better or am I going backwards? You got to ask yourself that connection about relationships. You need the first relationship you need to get together is your connection with God. When I connect with God, he is the infinite wisdom of ideas, of strength, and everything that I need. I'm not talking about stopping doing this and stopping doing that. When I say connect to God, I mean find out who you are in him. People ask me all the time, should I stop doing this? And I say, should you? I want you to get connected to God because watch this. If I tell you to stop, you're going to stop when I come around. I get so tickled because people find I'm a pastor and they come around not realizing I got some same struggles, issues as other people. They change the whole conversation when I come around. How you doing today, Reverend? I'm blessed and highly favored. I mean, just work. You don't never use them words. I just heard you cuss the lady out of Kroger before I saw you and now you blessed and highly. People change situationally. No. I want you to get it on the inside of you. Because when it's on the inside of you, you don't care when nobody is around. You won't quit not because people are watching. You won't quit because you're a winner. Because there's something greater on the inside of you. When you're connected to God, he'll tell you what to do. So you got to get your connection with God together first. Then you got to get role models in your life. You got to get people to push you to the next level. Now, I'm going to have to help you, get you to help me to preach. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's another level in you. You got, but you have to let somebody pull it out of you. Can I ask you a question? When y'all find out the big boss is coming in, when y'all find out that the main guy, the main lady is coming in, what do? You straighten up, you dress up, you get your conversation together. And you don't do nothing, just act like you're typing, you speak different. Why? Because authority pulls another level out of you. When I was single and my parents were going to come visit me, guess what I did? I cleaned up. Barbara was in Texas. We dated long distance. Before she came, I spent 3 days cleaning. She didn't know that I didn't live like that until we got married and came together. But it still wasn't her level of clean. What happens when you get people in your life? Everybody's got to have somebody in their life that pushes them to another level. Everybody's got to have somebody in their life that when they talk, you listen. And there was just this respect that you have for them because there's another level in you. So we all need these role models. We need people to teach us. We have people to teach us how to run game. You have somebody to teach you how to fight. You have somebody to teach you how to work the system. Let somebody teach you how to win. We need role models to push us out of poverty and to a level that God wants. Y'all right in here? And we also need peers. People will come and say, hey, I need you to pray. I need my son to stop hanging with this crowd. I need my daughter to break up with this guy. I need this to happen. Here's the best way for that to happen. You ready? Yeah. Let a person find their purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you find your purpose, you'll find your direction. Yeah. And your direction will pique your people. And you won't have to worry about who you hang with because I know where I'm going and the people I'm connected to are going in the same direction that I'm going in. And when you start to do that, you'll start to separate yourself and the folks that you used to hang with say, you changing on us. Oh, you think you better than us now? Oh, you hanging with them now? It's not that I separated myself. It's not personal. It's purposeful. Yeah. because I picked my purpose and my purpose pushed me another direction. And if I go back, if I go to that connection, what connected us was misery. What connected us, we loved to gossip. What connected us was weed. What connected us, we got drunk together. What connected us was certain things. But when you find your purpose, it will find your people. You all right in here? And some of you, some of us, we feel like we're in relationships. We feel like I'm going one way and you going this way, and we feel like we're in a tug of war. Do you know why you feel that way? Because you are. One of you trying to go this way, and the other one's trying to go this way. And because y'all don't want to lose each other, y'all sit there right where you are and do nothing. And you're miserable because you're forsaking your purpose. I'm not telling you to go home and break up with your boyfriend or file a divorce. I'm not telling you to quit your job because the reverend said it's time for me to quit my job because I'm better than where I'm. What I'm saying is pick your direction. The tug of war is becoming, there's something great inside of you. And I'm not meant to live in poverty. I'm not meant to live with not believing there's enough. I'm picking my direction and it's finding my destiny for me. You need peers to help you because many of us, our peers are what's keeping us in this place. Is that all right in here? The next thing you got to figure out, you got to go to the root. You got to deal with your relationships, and I'm almost through. You got to deal with rules. Yes. All of you all in here come from a social class. This is not Bible. This is just the reality. Poverty picks a social class. That's the middle class. And I'm not saying either one of them is right or wrong. It's reality. Wealth has a certain class. And every class has rules to it that when you're dealing with people, you got to know what you're dealing with. Because they shape the way you see things. You read the Bible based off what your experience was. So here's the reality. You got to be cognizant of the fact, are there rules that I'm dealing with that are keeping me in a certain place? There could be rules a part of it that you live by that are keeping you in a certain place. Let me give you a prime example. Something, maybe you didn't think about this. You got maybe a poor class, you got middle class, and you got a wealthy. Nothing wrong. I'm not knocking either one of them. But think about this. We're going to come together and we're going to do a dinner, right? So, person from a lower class is more concerned with this. Is there going to be enough food? Yeah. They go to a place and say, my God, they had a lot of food. Person from a middle class is going to say, how does the food taste? A person from a wealthier class is going to say this, how was it presented? We went to this place when I lived in Philadelphia, and they talked about it. They said, my God, the food is phenomenal here. The steak is good. It's got, oh my God, it's got great portions. It's got all this stuff like this. And we ordered this food, and I got this little steak. And it was that big. And it had that little stuff drizzled on it with little mushrooms sitting on it. Then it had them little asparagus things just sitting there right on top of each other. And they said, oh my God, this looks great. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm going to McDonald's when I leave. Here's the reality. Who was I eating with? I worked for Cigna. I was eating with the head of sales for the entire company. I was eating with the major hitters from our company. Came from a certain place, so it shaped the way what they saw was good. I'm thinking good is buffet. Have you ever asked yourself why Ruth Chris don't have a buffet? It shapes, I'm serious. And you have to know I have to know this because so I won't be offensive when I'm preaching to some of you. I could talk about, man, we're going to Maggiano's. Maggiano's is about $32 a person, $100 for three of us to go. That's somebody's, I can't go every week. I may go once a month. For somebody, that's your weekly grocery bill. We all bring these things to the table, and you don't realize it, but you need people to help you with the rules. Thank God for somebody sitting beside me at that restaurant that said, hey, start with this fork first, because I was scared to eat. I didn't know where to start. Five forks sitting in front of me. Why can't we just use one? Start right here. And I didn't move until they said, now you're going to pick up this one. And I said, let me tell you the crazy part. They took my plate and they took my fork. I said, hey, bring my fork back. Don't you say that. That's the other fork you're going to use right there. I did not know. There are hidden rules that keep you in certain places. Now, on the flip side of it, you could be used to five forks when you eat. And you go to a cookout and they got plastic forks for everybody. And you get through with your little salad and throw your fork away, and your main, of course, you get ready to get it. Where about fork? You shouldn't have thrown that one away. You don't eat but one. It's going to be for salad. It's going to be for your entree and your dessert. Yes, sir. It's just hidden rules. Challenge with hidden rules, if you don't know them, you can't navigate life. And you have to learn how to navigate life because there are rules that keep you in certain situations. There are rules that keep you in poverty. And that's what I'm mainly concerned with. I don't want you to stay in a place because there are certain rules that tell you certain things. There are certain rules in poverty that say this. I pull back on my bills and this is what I do. I buy my wants and I beg my needs. That could be a rule that keeps you in a place because that's what you're used to seeing. That makes sense? You want to make sure that you uncover all the hidden rules, and God always puts somebody in your life to help you walk through those rules. The last one is this, resources. You got to be connected to the right resources. The first resource I want to talk about is financial. Can I cast vision for a moment? One of the greatest things, I love what we do on Sundays. I'm sitting down talking to you guys now, but I love shouting, praising God. One of the things I would love that we could do is be a place of resources for people. One of the resources I would love to provide is can you imagine, can I just cast vision with y'all for a minute? After we build our sanctuary, can you imagine if this neighborhood, if we start building houses, and we started building houses for people to live in. Say, for instance, someone's been to jail. You get out of jail, there's something on your record, perhaps you can't live in a certain area. You're disqualified from living where you should be living. Where you have to go live is the same stuff you're trying to escape from. So now every day when I go to work, because I can't work in certain places, I have to work around a certain environment. Then I have to go live in a certain environment. What if we had a place that you can give you a year that can help you get on your feet? What if we had a place of resources where you can get ahead and there are people? Here's the thing about most jobs. A lot of jobs that you see, a lot of them are already, they've already got somebody for them by the time they post it. And it's just not, sometimes not a matter of what you know, it's a matter of who you know. I don't know. I let this out. Because legally, you have to post certain jobs. I've got jobs that they had to post, and they say to me this, hey, listen, you've got the job, but legally, we have to post it. And after we get through with this, we'll give you the job. What if we had a place that we can create a networking environment where you knew that there's real estate agents here, if you knew that there were bankers here, if you knew that there were people here, that you can get the resources to break a poverty mentality? Because sometimes we spend a whole lot more for stuff than if we just knew better.
That's
right. Is that right? We can go a whole lot further in life. So I want to be connected to, a lot of us dealing with financial resources is somebody teaching you even how to deal with creditors. You get in debt, here's how you deal with your creditors. You don't avoid their call for a month, and when they do call, you cuss them out because you owe them money. It's the wrong rule. Y'all right in here? It's all right. This is what I can pay you. And if you call me tomorrow, I'm going to tell you, I got $5. And every day you're going to call me, I'm going to tell you. And you learn how to handle certain things because it's certain rules based off resources. And a lot of the resources is God connecting you with people to show you what you have available to you. That makes sense in here. Then there are mental resources, the ability to choose and control your mental responses, understanding. Many of us shut down when we don't understand and we become mentally poor and mentally impoverished. So we have to break that mentality because there's a lot of stuff you don't understand. And because you don't understand, you get offended. What if somebody teaches you the ability to research and find stuff out for yourself? There are so many of you in here that can go on the internet and you can find what somebody wore on the third day of school in the second grade. How did you find that? It's the ability to research. When you break the poverty mentality, you say, listen, you don't have to give me everything. If you just teach me how to do it, I can break certain cycles. That's another resource called an emotional resource. An emotional resource is this. It's being able to choose the right emotion in the moment. Poverty always chooses the wrong emotion. Here's how you settle conflict in poverty. We're either going to fight, we're going to cuss each other out, or I'm going to make light of the situation. But when we get through, we're not going to deal with the issue. When you break that mentality and somebody teaches you how to deal with a conflict without dealing with it with not enough resources, and now I have the resources, let me challenge you in here. Every marriage is going to have disagreements. But when you deal with it from a poverty mentality, it's all emotional and they don't deal with the issue. You start out arguing, your socks are always on the floor, your mama. Y'all think I'm crazy? My mama, your daddy, your whole family like that. And them socks still on the floor. Socks ain't moved. Y'all just mad at each other for a whole month because we lack the resources to bridle our emotions. Your boss makes you mad. And instead of you stopping to think, okay, let me line something up and plan my exit, you exit right then because you cuss him, her, and everybody in your way out, and y'all can keep this job, and I'm better than this. But next week, they're going to ask for the electric. Next week, they're going to ask for the mortgage. when you are emotionally wealthy, I plan my exit strategy, watch this, so I don't burn bridges. I may see you in Walmart, and I don't want to have to dodge you. You all right in here? So it's about having the right emotional resources. You got to have the right support system, your family and friends and backup resources, and you got to have the adequate physical resources. You can't do what God wants you to do without the physical resources. And I'm praying that whatever God, if he needs to heal your body, if God needs to touch your mind, I'm praying that whatever you need, that God gives it to you. Because in this moment, wherever you have poverty that is wrecking your life, my life, I'm praying, God, in the name of Jesus, that he destroys the roots, gives you right relationships, that he teaches you the right rules, and that you get the right resources to do what he's called you to do. Can you bow your head? Father, here's my prayer.